Thank you for being here at Commissioner's Court today and bring the court to order. Do we have a volunteer for our invocation today? Don, that would be great. Before you do that, though, if I can, we'll all stand together, and I'd like to let people, everyone here know, are you all familiar with Ivo Nelson over here in our Wellness Center? He passed away this week. And he is one of us. He's one of our people that I did not know him personally, but many people did. Everyone spoke so highly of him. He passed away. And if Don, if you could start us off with a moment of silence, and when you're ready, if you would come up to the mic and pray for us. Would you do that?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day. We thank you for this beautiful world that you created for us, and we just pray that each one of us can enjoy it and live in harmony and peace in it, Lord. Father, we pray for the family. We pray for the individuals involved with the one that come back to you, Lord. And we know that each one of us will one day have that privilege of walking those golden streets. We pray for this court today, Lord, to be with each decision made, that it'll be made for the better of the people of this county, and that each person will use common sense in their judgment. Father, we ask you to guide and protect us, be with our journeys and travels as we venture today. Keep the guardian angels with us, in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Our pledges to the flag.
To the American flag, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor of the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present here today. And commissioners, do I have a motion to approve the agenda this morning?
Move.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 7A, we have a proclamation of or a presentation of Employee of the Month. Taylor?
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Taylor Nichols. I'm the Recognition Coordinator for the Employees Committee. If I can have Mr. Bruce Gussler with Juvenile Probation come forward, he's going to present September Employee of the Month plaque and gift certificate.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
This is one of my happy duties that I really like doing because we get to celebrate one of our outstanding employees who we managed to get here today in secrecy. He has no idea why he's here, and he has no idea why his girlfriend just walked in the courtroom. So if I could, Giovanni, would you please come up? Giovanni Matamoros is our September Employee of the Month. Very well deserved. He's an outstanding young man. And I thought, and able to attribute to him, I'd like to read the nomination letter because it's so well written. Giovanni is a juvenile supervision officer at our JJAEP. He performs his duties with persistence, honor, and dignity. What makes him stand out is his can-do spirit. This past summer, Giovanni went beyond by taking on additional duties, projects, and tasks. From additional shifts in the detention center to assisting probation officers with home visits, conducting numerous transports, to even setting up a field trip to tour the Texas A&M University for our kids from the JJAP. He even took the juveniles to visit the George Bush Library. This is all well beyond his normal duties. This is not just a job for Giovanni. It is his passion, gift, and calling. His positive attitude affects the people around him. His work ethic makes his coworkers feel confident they will be successful. His knowledge and expertise make him a key player for the overall success of our JJAP. Giovanni has been a committed employee for Montgomery County for over 11 years. He also gives back to the community by volunteering his time and assisting nonprofit organizations. He is an asset to our JJAP, to our juvenile department, and to our county. I'm very, very pleased to award him the September Employee of the Month.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks, guys. That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Bruce, get there you go.
Judge,
well done.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, as we move forward, do we have, gentlemen, a motion to approve the corrections to these two sets of minutes?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes in item B?
Move.
Our previous set. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. All right. As we look to the consent agenda, I'd like to make one modification. It is 9L1 and move that to the open agenda. 9L1.
Mental health treatment?
Yes, mental health treatment.
Open.
Judge, staff has one as well that they'd like to move.
Judge, okay, requested that we move 9A1
to open. 9L, as in Lima, 9L1, move to the open agenda. County Attorney of Mental Health.
We're adding an additional one.
Oh, you are. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Can we add 9A1
okay.
to open?
All right. Are there any others? All right. Then if there are no others, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with modifications?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And let's move to those items. First, 9L1. BD, you'd come up and share with us what's going on there. And then Amanda, will you be presenting the next? Or Rakesh?
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
That agenda item deals with the biennial appropriation for the Montgomery County Mental Health Treatment Facility. It has increased. Within the amendment, additional duties have been added and responsibilities, both for the county, some, but primarily for our contractor. And they're not, at this point, they need clarification on some of those, so we want to have you approve the amendment from our standpoint, from the amount and other amounts, it's fine. We want to make sure that the contractor can do the new requirements of the amendment. But at this point, to avoid delay, we would recommend or ask that you go ahead and approve it, give me authority to sign it with potential modifications.
Why can't we address the modifications or needed changes now? I'm not inclined to
you can.
Approve it before knowing what we're approving.
You can. It's discretionary.
So what are the changes?
The primary change deals with a requirement that the Department of Health and Human Services wants to include in the modification that if the patient does not return to competency, that the facility keep them at least for so long as until they can be placed somewhere else. And that is a big problem for our facility because we're not set up for that long-term aftercare if competency cannot be restored. That's one of the main issues.
So what's the resolution for that?
So there's a conference call scheduled today at 10 a.m. to see if the contractor and the state can work out those types of obligations.
Yes,
and once the contractor is comfortable, we would ask that BD be allowed to sign on behalf of the county. Contractors can't actually perform those, and the state is okay with that. We can move forward.
Something's going to have to be worked out. We're not
exactly.
That facility's not built for that.
Right. If the state removes that requirement, we would be comfortable moving forward with the contract.
Commissioner, would you repeat what you just said? Because that's important.
I just said that as BD said, the facility is not set up for long-term care or holding somebody for a year just because they can't return competency.
Right. As a reminder, this facility is designed, it's a forensic type of facility. It's designed where when people are accused of a crime but are not competent to stand trial, they are placed there, and the purpose of that facility or the treatment that they receive at that facility is to attempt to restore their competency so that they can then stand trial and go back into the judicial system, criminal justice system. People don't become competent again.
Right.
And in times past, they have made that statement, we've done everything we can, and then it goes back to the referring court, which comes from all over the state. We receive patients from all over the state for this facility, and then the court decides what to do with that case, the court of the DA, county attorney, in those jurisdictions. And in the past, when we've done that, we have released, my recollection, we have released them back to the referring jurisdiction.
Yes.
And maybe El Paso, maybe Travis County. Well, now what the State Department wants us to do is keep a hold on those people, or keep holding those people until the case is either ultimately dismissed or that referring jurisdiction decides what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And we're not set up for that. We have 100 beds total in that facility. It runs at, you know, near capacity most of the time. And it's just not set up for long-term care, with a different type of care being focused towards not restoring competency, but mental health care, inpatient mental health care.
Yeah, it would go against the original usage of the facility or the mission. And it's full. Every time we release some, more somebody's cold. Waiting. It's always full. So if we start keeping these people that can't be returned to competency, it's going to limit what we can take from other counties that need that facility's help.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work out.
Well, it also increases our cost, or increases the cost to run the facility, because, again, it's not set up for that type of care. My understanding is they would have to hire additional type of staff do the care after competency is determined not to be able to be restored.
And like you say, they've always gone back to the county that they came from, which is all over the state of Texas.
Yeah. Right.
And they deal with it there, and that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
And we expect that the state will accept those changes, and assuming that they will, then we could execute the document and move forward. We just, rather than bring it back on the next court to delay that, we were asking if you would, with the modifications that we discussed, allow BD to sign if the state is okay with it and our contractor is okay with it.
What's the problem with just bringing it back next time?
There's no great problem. The longer it delays, the longer we get between the funding of the state's first funding of it.
Yeah. But it will come.
It will ultimately come, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless. So, I mean, I'd rather have a final contract that we know exactly what's going to be signed. I mean, it's the court and the county being bound by it.
I hear you, but I think BD is certainly capable of working this out and signing the contract. I mean, it's.
Yeah, can I ask a question? If I may, BD, how would you then, if we were to move forward on what you want us to do, then how would you structure this motion?
Well, currently the motion was to approve and/or ratify my signature. I'm the one they've got set up to do through DocuSign, electronic signing.
Right.
If there had been no issue with it, like I said, I got the contract on the 30th of August. State's funding year starts September 1, of course. I get a reminder every day to, they're looking for this to be signed. So if there had been no issue, I probably would have already signed it and had the court ratify it. So
if you take this back and you tell them, look, we're this part of this amendment we cannot go for, and this is when they come to the time where they need to go out, that goes between the person who referred them and the agency or whatever. That's really what this is all about, correct?
That's the primary issue that WellPath has with the amendment to the contract, yes.
What's the secondary issue?
What's the others?
I don't recall. There are a couple of other issues they want clarified.
I would just prefer to us.
I
think I do have it here.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other major issues. I think the issues, the other issues in the contract are clarification issues of what they expect and timing.
Yeah, the timing is critical. But yeah, I'm fine with being
if the court wants to see the final, I have no problem with that. We're just trying to ease it along and get it as quickly as we could, given that the states and they're starting their funding year, and it delays the funding until we get the contract signed.
When will you get this back to them? Will you do that today, tomorrow, this week?
They are our contractor WellPath representatives are speaking with the State Department at 10 o'clock today. Hopefully it can get resolved today, and we can go ahead and we would bring it back. If you wanted late, we'd bring it back in 2 weeks.
Or you can have a special session and just we could get it signed any time, right? I mean, if we needed to.
Well, I think we can.
Yeah, I don't think there's a – it's not such an emergency that if it's done within 2 weeks, we would need a special session.
You're the one signing, right?
Yes.
Okay. He's going to sign it anyway.
Ultimately, I will sign it just because it's set up for me to sign through DocuSign. But the, you know, again, it's, we're just trying to make it as easy on the court as possible.
What are your thoughts, Commissioner Metz? Joe, you sat on the bench for 20 years. What do you think?
I don't know if that's fair or not. I trust B.D. Griffin. He's our attorney.
I tell you what, let's do it this way. If it's resolved, sign it. If it's not, if there's issues still hanging out, we'll bring it back.
Oh, I certainly will not sign it if there are issues hanging out.
So if you can get it to how it always has been, the document that we all approved last time, last biennium.
Is that what we're trying to get to?
Or whether our contractor is comfortable with it.
Yeah. It's probably the latter because the amendment last time was 2 pages. It's now 10 pages.
How many?
10. So the department, and of course, DISHES, which is now HHS, went through some changes over the last few years. So this is an administrative change or requirement that they are trying to push through on that standpoint. It's not legislative required.
So it has a chain reaction of things that go with the movement of all of human services, dividing DFPS off from that. Because I was on the committee when that happened, and it's like amazing.
Is there anything that can cost the county any money? Are there any penalties? I mean, my concern is we get into something that, you know, we don't get to see it till after you execute it. And then, you know, a year later, the court is made aware of a situation where, oh, is in that agreement. You didn't know? Well, no, we didn't know because we gave you permission to look at the agreement. So is there anything in there that's going to cost us any money that has any possibility of us not receiving the money from the state? Any liability or issues that we would need to address as a county in that document?
Other than what we were discussing right now with the long-term or the extra care that would require more cost to the facility, there's no increased responsibilities that I have seen that would cause additional expense. Any increased responsibilities are going to be those that the contractor will assume and must be comfortable assuming before we would sign the contract. The chance of not getting the appropriation is if we don't ultimately agree on the terms of the amendment, and then the appropriation would go away.
And that's always subject. I mean, every biennium we're subject to the appropriation going away. That's not new.
So no, that part of our function is to look for. One thing we always look for is anything that could be a hidden cost or a contingent liability. That's what our legal review of these contracts is
for.
And the auditors looked at this as well.
The auditor's office has looked at it and approved the amount and says it meets with what the requirements that we have seen in years past.
Yeah, we're just a pass-through.
Yeah.
The contractor's going to have to deal with it if it stays.
Yeah, our agreement, after we get the agreement with the state, we will probably be amending our agreement with the contractor, and what we do is generally on everything we can that is delegable, we delegate to the contractor, or anything that is not that they would be responsible for, they come back and basically indemnify us for any cost that we would incur that they should be taking on. So,
how much was the appropriation increased? Do you know?
It's about $2 million a year, is my recollection. Mm. I think it's up to 17.4 a year.
Commissioner Riley, you brought up a little bit of an issue. Are you, which way?
It's $175,000 increase.
I think $175,000, not $2 million
per year?
Increase of $175,000.
The whole thing is $17 million. I'm wrong.
Okay. And I was just making sure. I just don't know if it's $2 million or $175,000.
I was going from the original was $15 million, but it was increased 2 years ago. So
okay.
That's where
it kind of bothers me that the amendments are 10 pages long, but if PD is.
I don't.
We understand.
I don't like seeing.
Again, commissioners and judge, I have no problem if y'all want to wait. We're just trying to facilitate it.
My issue is holding up the money. I can tell you from my experience with Human Services and Department of Family and Protective Services, dishes, the whole deal, is that when you change one thing, when they divided these two departments, that has a ripple effect, which affects all these activities that were going on between these departments. And the real issue here is if it is really, and I'm assuming it is, that it has to do with the issue of what happens if we have to do extended care, then I certainly understand what the Commissioner Nowak is saying and concern about that. I don't want to hold up the money. If we could move forward on it, and if is there a way that if somehow we recognize within the next month or whatever it is that something is not right, I don't know who's going to study it to look for that. But the fact of the matter is if there is once it's signed, is that the end of it? Or can it be amended again for our position?
It can be amended again. It would require both parties to amend it. In fact, the last time we had two amendments, and it took about 6 months to get the second amendment.
Then I would say my position on it would be to move forward on it. Let's not hold up the money.
If BD can get what he's looking for today or next couple of days, and Rakesh is fine, and everybody that's involved with this looks at it and they're okay with it, I think we move the way it is on the agenda, and let's move on.
Can you make a motion?
You said you have the authority to sign it already, right? You said you could sign this.
Yeah.
So what you could do then, just sign it and then bring it back to court for ratification once the amendments and everything are finalized.
Well, true. That's how the current agenda item reads, because I'd anticipated I would sign it if there were no problems and the court would ratify it. But when the problems arose, I'm not going to sign something that I know needs to be changed or amended or there are problems with.
Okay, now just for the record, we have a motion on the floor right now.
Second.
Okay. Whoa. We need
the agenda item as written.
Item as written. Okay, do we have a second?
I made that motion while
ago. Okay, and then Commissioner Met second. Is there any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm an aye on that.
Thank you, BD.
Thank you, BD.
All right. Next item from consent is 9A1. Rakesh?
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One of the items that we always put on the court is LGC 114.024 report, which is the expenditure summary report. What it does is it kind of helps us track the budget versus the actual expenses. And the reason why it's got brought up is because one of the departments, we're trying to keep track of the budget versus actual expenses and to see whether they have enough sufficient funds to be able to run through the end of the year, end of the fiscal year 2019.
Right.
And court operations, as of the date we ran the report, which was a week ago exactly, 9/3/2019, it had about $107,000. And as of this morning, they have about $31,000. Now, the reason why I want to bring it up is because next court, we'll probably have to look into ways to be able to fund it for the rest of the year. And we're looking at some potential avenues. And again, this is just an FYI, this court. So next court, when you come, it'll probably come up and we'll find ways to, you know, look at it to see if there's any additional revenues that we actually recognize for the fiscal 2019 that we could potentially recognize and allocate, and to see if there's any unused budget at other departments that we can sweep into it. And if there's still any additional needs, then we'll probably have to
What court is it?
It's court administration as a court operations as a whole. A lot of the county court at laws and the district courts,
okay,
their indigent defense
not
and their
one
CPA,
court.
Not one particular. That department, it's a bucket. Basically, it's a bucket of money, and all of the courts charge to that bucket of money for indigent defense and CPS cases. We're just kind of bringing it to you guys as an FYI that we expect. We've had some conversations with Nate and some of the.
Do you think indigent defense created the short file?
Most definitely. There's a couple of outliers that we've recognized that are kind of not in the normal, normal day-to-day business that they've had. So Nate's going to kind of bring an update to you guys in a couple of weeks and kind of go through what those kind of outliers were and how much, more money we're looking at potentially needing.
So correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm looking on the original 9A1 consent agenda, and this is not noticed unless I'm missing it. And I don't remember seeing it in the elements below this particular item. Is this something that we should put to miscellaneous at the end as just a comment of what is coming?
I think they're talking about what needs to come on the next agenda, not a resolution to the problem today.
Okay. Right.
We don't need action. It's just more of an FYI.
It's more of an FYI today.
Okay.
We don't need a motion?
No.
Do you have an idea of how much the shortfall will be? I know we talked yesterday with a wide range.
Again, it all depends on the actual invoices that come in that we have to fund. $7.5 million was for the annual budget, mm-hmm. and roughly on a monthly basis. But then what we did is later on yesterday, we looked at the actual invoices that came in the month of August for indigent defense and CPS vouchers. So roughly when we did that calc, looking at the actuals for August, it was about $400,000. And again, not saying that that'll be the exact amount for the month of September to fund. It can be higher or lower, but again, that's the measuring stick that we're looking at this point in time.
Commissioners and Judge, I got an email about this Sunday night at 7:30 from Nate Jensen, just letting me know that they've had an issue with 465. They're going to be short. There's some discussions about CPS cases and, why this occurred. I got in touch with Judge Robin and Judge Grant yesterday. They were very helpful. And I explained to them my issue, and I think really our court would be concerned with, is why are we just now finding out about this? That this is the second time that something like this has happened. We understand that when we put more law enforcement officers on the ground and we have more judges on the bench, that we're going to have more cases and things like that. It's just a matter of trying to make sure that we are better made aware of this. And I know they're working diligently to make sure that happens, doesn't happen again, and next court be prepared to give us more information.
Right. So what we're talking about is an agenda item for next court.
Right. Okay. No, I got you.
If it's indigent defense, to me that's truly an item that you can't predict. I mean, that's a...
We can discuss that at the next court.
Judge Robin.
The only thing I just wanted to say, good morning to all of you. It's good
speaking
to see
the mic real good.
Okay. Good morning. It's good to see all of you. Just real quick, to let you know, the last time, the first time it ever really came to our attention that over a period of years, apparently the court operations budget has historically always gone over. So we've never made it a full fiscal year. I don't think the judges were aware of that because it would go through the way that things were done with our auditor and whatever. It would go through the consent agenda. We never knew for many years until last October when suddenly it came to our attention that that's what was going on. And so when that happened, we took several measures. One, we make Nate go to every single commissioner's court agenda review, and he has to send us a report of anything that might possibly touch on the court so that we can be prepared and we can have answers to you guys. Number two, he has a monthly report he gives us at every Board of Judges meeting to let us know where we are on our accounts. There is no doubt that every year we on indigent defense and the CPS cases, all of that, essentially we run out of money. And that's what's happening. We are taking measures, but what I'm told is,
if I may, with all due respect, we'll put this on the next agenda. That it's going to need to be a topic of discussion. We're getting beyond the agenda item.
I understand.
Yeah, and
we didn't want you all to be left with the impression that we're not monitoring. We are monitoring every single month, and there's a discrepancy, and I'm getting down to the bottom of it.
I got you.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, we trust that is the case, of course. Well, we have those situations here. Now we're getting to areas where we've not noticed.
Okay.
And it's not on the agenda. And so if we could, if you're okay, if you would please, I'm going to ask you and
I'm
the judges
fine with
to
that.
Work
I
with
found
that
yesterday
this.
Afternoon as
yeah.
well. So
yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you so
All right,
much
thank
for
you.
coming.
We'll have
we
more
appreciate
to
it and for your input.
All right.
Rakesh, thank you as well. All right.
Okay. Rakesh, you still need a motion on your report.
Can we approve item 9A1 as it reads in the agenda?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mm-hmm. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. Are there any, did we have any citizens? Okay. No citizens' comments today. Item 11A, consider to discuss and approve Montgomery County's continuation of bingo prize fee collections, compliance with HB 914. Authorize Judge Keogh to sign compliance forms on this. And what this, I'll just go ahead and present what this is. What this is that the legislation was passed that cities and counties were required to fill out a form, send it in one time to make sure that they were in compliance with us receiving 50% of the monies from fees and the state receiving 50% of the monies from fees. If we don't do that, they also worked into the legislation that this is a one-time shot, and if you guys don't do it, you don't get it. And my feeling was we have the lottery, the Texas Lottery Commission, for anybody here would like to see it. It is on the agenda item online. You can take a look at it. I'm sure that you already have. So we want to continue to approve, continue receipt of the share of bingo funds, notify Texas Lottery Commission of that decision, and 3, notify each licensed authorized organization within the county or municipality as applicable of the continued imposition of this fee, and will continue to receive our 50%, with the understanding that they're assuming that the county, in the fiscal note on the bill, for the amount of money that's involved here overall, they are accounting on a lot of counties not fulfilling this, not paying attention to it, and then the state gets that money. The counties will be permanently out. We're not going to do that. So I move that we continue to operate the way we've been, continue to take the 50% and bring it into the county. So I have a motion.
Second.
How much is it a year?
What is it?
Yeah.
How much was it? Well, yeah, it's 100 for us. It's 164. But overall, for all the states, what, $14 million or something?
We anticipate a windfall of $15 million
for
non-compliance. If we don't comply,
then
we lose
100. Yeah,
we lose a ton.
Got it.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Next item on the agenda, Fire Marshal.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning,
Jimmy.
Good morning, Jimmy.
We're here to discuss the imposition of a burn ban. I'll give you a little update. Checking with the National Weather Service, our latest information, we're going to have some sporadic rain over the next 2 days. Then we're going to return to 100-degree days and dry throughout the weekend. We historically track the number of fires and our drought index. Once we see a drought index of 650 on average, we see an increase in both the number and the severity of fires. We hit 651 on Friday morning, and wow, we saw a jump over the weekend, 15 fires on Saturday, 16 on Sunday.
Wow.
A couple of them damaged some sheds, houses. We had some exterior damage, so we have the potential to have a larger fire. The chief concern is we're moving into the cool front season. Right now we're not having a lot of fires because it's just too hot to go outside and burn. We get a nice cool front, come in on a Friday evening or a Saturday morning, people are going to jump out in their yard, start burning, and we're going to have 40 or 50 fires. And they're going to damage some property, and they could have the potential to get big. So we're currently sitting at 670 on the drought index. We'll be at 700 if we don't see significant rainfall. The Magnolia fire in 2011, it was 695 on the day that fire broke out. Worst case scenario would be a tropical storm come through Louisiana, get some winds associated with that, and we could have a major fire event. So it's prudent to do it now. I don't expect the law allows for it to go up to 90 days before you have to renew it. I don't expect we'll be anywhere near that 90 days. As soon as we start getting some fall rains and the cycle breaks, we'll come back. My plan is to talk with the county judge, keep him updated, and we can pull it as quickly as we get back down to where we're acceptable levels of safety.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All right.
Jimmy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Appreciate what you do for us. Rakesh. County Auditor.
Item 13A, consider and approve payment of accounts.
Move.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Purchasing, Gilbert.
Good morning.
Gilbert.
Good morning.
Our first item is a change order with Total Team Construction. This is for the County Youth Services Building. Change order is $119,310, and there is money in the budget for that change order.
Okay.
Move.
Second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Sir, the second item is a contract for professional design services with PGAL, for the Forensic Center. And this is in the amount of $1,140,900 with reimbursable expenses. This would be for travel, printing, permits, what have you, of $50,000, which makes the total contract $1,190,900.
Move.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And the last item is another design services agreement. This is for the Sheriff's Substation, I guess it's District 2, with PGAL. Again, this is $280,000. There are specific additions that might be needed, such as geotech services, FF&E, security design. That's another $77,500. So the total would be $357,500.
Move.
Second.
Is there any discussion on this? Gilbert, in the last one you said it's in the budget. What about this?
Yeah, this was
This was all part of the yes, budget sir. Process.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, this time we're going to break for the executive session. The court will recess pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. I'm going to consider and discuss, and we will be back. Thank you all. As we come back from our executive session, and I need a motion to approve a resolution for the county to defend in case number 419-CV-02733.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. There are no comments. Is there any miscellaneous comments or things we need to discuss before we break? Amanda, I'm looking at you, and I can see in your eye that you're wanting to say something. Okay. All right. Then we have a motion for our court to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
No. Okay. Did you want? Who was wanting to say something?
Public comments, but not about anything on the agenda.
Okay. Well, you have the freedom to do that at the end, which is we're at the end, and we have a motion pending, and we could go to discussion. Would you like to do that right now?
Not with anything on this agenda.
All right. I'm sorry.
Not with anything on this agenda.
All right. Okay. Cool. Very good. Well, miscellaneous at the end, we ask if anybody wants to say anything, but we go by public comments for who has signed up on it, so we know they're here. And we have nobody signed up on anything. But for this, as it relates to, we're in the middle of discussion on whether or not we should adjourn, it's open. So he can, thank you. You can come to the mic and say what you wanted to say, and it doesn't necessarily have to be on an item of the agenda.
Okay.
Apologize for the misunderstanding.
No problem. Paul Krause in Precinct 4 is where I reside, and thank you for what y'all do every couple of weeks to at least that we publicize and such. And I'm here. I stay in regular contact with several people within the county by email and such about different issues around man-made flooding in Montgomery County, especially around me. I come today because that I hope at the end of this, since it's short, especially today, that I could speak to Commissioner Metz after court. My concerns have to do with man-made flooding in Montgomery County. There is very heavy construction in the last week or two at the dead end of my street, Greenbow. Back in September and October of 2018, I was able to get together with several public officials, including the current now county judge here, Mark Keogh, to address local man-made flooding near the intersection of FM 1314 and State Highway 242. It is my belief from experiences over the last 3 years that the county commissioner is the number one most influential person to address and affect man-made flooding locally. The Texas Water Development Board created a state flood plan in January after input that included mine and many others, but however, I was not able ever to get any input from our Commissioner Metz then or now. Recently, in the last few months, a workshop called CHARM, produced by Texas A&M in Montgomery County, was put on, and one Montgomery County official was there, the floodplain administrator. I have repeatedly asked for input this year from Precinct 4 Commissioner Metz in those matters because it is not something that the floodplain administrator can actually do anything about unless a property in question lies within a 100-year floodplain. I will say, though, that at least through social media published by Precinct 4, that a lot more drainage improvements are being done now than in previous years. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming and talking to us. All right, we have a motion on the floor to adjourn. Been a second.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much for being here with us today.
Good job. Did you sign those?